Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, fear not. Turn to your neighbor on the other side and say, now listen, we're going to find out why. One of the things that the Holy Ghost has brought to my attention during this whole pandemic, race-demic, political-demic, all of this unrest, all of this stuff, all of these distractions, were designed to invoke fear in the believer. Fear in the believer. Say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? Because we have believers not coming to church because they're afraid of contacting COVID. So they'll sit home and watch it online. Don't get mad at me. That's not everybody. I have to say what he tells me to say, not what you want me to say. Okay. And I think you'd want me to say what he wants me to say. Because my words don't carry any weight. But that's why I have to find out what he says and tell you what he says. But it's not those that actually cannot come. And happy birthday, Miss Francis. Because I know she's watching. She can't physically be here. So this is for her and those like her. But those who figure, well, I can chill. I can have my latte. And I can sit down. I don't have to get dressed. I can put on my slippers. You're missing out. God said, don't forsake the fellowship together. And it said, well, after the stream, I'll invite people over. No. See, one of the things, I have studied predators. Why? I don't know. I'm being honest with you. I'm just fascinated by how they operate. And so I would watch them. I would study their tactics. I research why they do what they do. And predators basically are cowards. Basically. They separate. They don't go after for the strong and healthy. They go after the old and the weak. They go after those who don't really understand what's going on. So they'll cause chaos to separate. And because they can't see who the good target is in a group. So they separate and they say, aha. And I'm making sure I'm not pointing at anybody. Okay. This is the one. And they stalk and devour that one. That's what predators do. The devil is an ambush predator. You need to know how he operates. That's why the devil doesn't talk to you when you're in a group like this. When you're sitting off by yourself complaining about something, usually, he will come and start telling you things. You've been having a pain here in the left side of your chest. And you're trying to figure out what it is. Instead of asking God what to do about it, you're like, what is this? Well, you want an answer. The devil will give you one. You're about to have a heart attack. All of a sudden, the pain intensifies, and you become short of breath. Why? Because in the natural, you're starting to hyperventilate. But spiritually, you think, that's right. I'm going to die. Why me, God? Why me? Ambush predator. That's why when the Bible says that Satan goes around, we're going to read the scripture in a moment, but he goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. With all respect to our mom who's in heaven, roaring lions are not toothless lions. You go up and try and slap it. If you want to, you come back with the nub. Lions roar for two main reasons. The first, and neither one of them has to do with it being afraid, or the first reason a lion roars is to stake out territory. It's letting you know there's another sheriff in town and I'm coming for you. So the first thing it does when it goes on new territory, roar! And those that don't know who they are tremble. Where is, I've never heard a roar like that before. Where is that? So instead of taking care of business in their territory, they wind up trying to find out where is the enemy so they can run the other direction. The other reason a lion roars, it knows food is out there, but it doesn't know where. He has an idea. So he'll slowly approach an area and let out the loudest roar he can, so loud you can feel it in your bones. You ever sit in a concert next to a speaker and you feel a bass? That's how loud the lion's roar can be, till its prey panics and runs out of safety. How many of you have seen those movies? There's a tornado or something going on and they've heard the family say inside, and there's one family member that's always, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to get out. I got to get out. And they burst out of there, and they get snatched away. And those that stay inside, it may be uncomfortable, but you're safe. Believers have forgotten that because we've been listening to the roar of the lions. Because everywhere you turned, you heard, roar, COVID. And I try and escape by watching sports. Get your vaccination, get your shot, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, man. So there's one choice where I could watch something and relax and get some information. The Victory Channel, where they weren't talking about fear unless they were talking about don't have any. Would you turn me to 2 Timothy? So God told me to talk about fear, and I'm going to talk about it in the personality that he gave me. Because we need to know, first of all, that fear is not something God can't. How many of you can give something you don't have? Well, neither can God. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1 that we are made in the image and the likeness of God. That means, the Bible also tells us in Ephesians, I believe, imitate God as dear children. It says imitate God. Didn't say imitate the world. As a matter of fact, he said, don't be conformed to this world. But it says imitate God. Well, if you're going to do that, or I'll say it this way. If you're going to look at that scripture, you need to understand when God said, let us make man, he was talking to somebody else. He was talking to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and he was talking to the Son, the Christ. Those two and God make up the Godhead. So he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. The Godhead, not correct English, ain't scared of nothing. And we're made in that image. And we're made in that likeness, and we need to understand that. So since we're made in the image and likeness of God, and there's no fear in God, in the Godhead, at all, why are we finding ourselves afraid of things? I wonder how many people will remain seated if the mouse just ran across the room. there'd be new exits and out of this. Oh, Lord, don't let it be a bee. I saw, no exaggeration, I was in one of the parking malls here during the summer, and a bee flew into this person's car. They got out. Car was in gear, rolling. Fortunately, it was rolling slowly, and it hit the curb and couldn't go anywhere. But this person ran, got out of their car. The bee was in the property. I got me another one. See a little bee tow truck coming, pull a car away. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He didn't give it to us. And he told us every good gift comes from him. So if it didn't come from him, it's not a good gift. So where did this fear come from? Came from the enemy. And it came acting like it's the real thing. I heard with someone using the letters fear, said that's an acronym for false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on something else. But 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7, in the Amplified Bible, I'm going to read several versions of this same scripture. That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of fan the flame of, and keep burning, the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that's in you by means of the laying on of my hands, with those of the elders at your ordination. Verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and clinging and fawning fear. Now let me tell you what that means. I'll say it using definitions for the words cowardice and timidity and craven and cringing. God didn't give us the least, God didn't make us lacking the least bit of courage. We're not lacking the least bit of courage. God's spirit doesn't cause us to pull back our muscles. That's what you do when you cringe. He didn't give us that. He didn't give us confusion. He didn't make us lacking courage, firmness, or purpose. He didn't do that. But he's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. That's what that translation says. Listen to the Weymouth translation. I'm just going to read verse 7. For the spirit which God has given us, past tense, God has given us, is not a spirit of cowardice, but one of power and of love and of sound judgment. So you can look at something and say, this isn't right. Why? I've been given a spirit of sound judgment. The New International Version. Verse 7, 2 Timothy 1. For the Spirit God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So we can say, I can't do this. Yes, you can, if you really want to. I didn't think I could run the equivalent of about 6-7 miles along the beach next to the boardwalk every day. I didn't know I could do that. But I knew I wanted to play basketball with professional players. So I wanted to be in shape. So I disciplined myself to get on the bus with no money to catch a bus back. I got on the bus, drove to Beach 156th Street, ran back in the sand to Beach 41st Street. I disciplined myself. God gave us the ability to self-discipline. Now listen to this in the easy-to-read version. I have one of those chairs that spin around. I read this verse and I started spinning around in my chair. I got to read this from verse 6. That is why I want you to remember the gift God gave you. God gave you that gift when I laid my hands on you. Now I want you to use that gift and let it grow more and more like a small flame grows into a fire. Now listen to this. The spirit God gave us does not make us afraid. His spirit is a source of power. Say, God's spirit is a source of power and love and self-control. So when I allow myself to get out of control, I am not operating based on the gift God gave me. So what am I operating under? A gift that didn't come from him. And I cannot say and be telling the truth, I couldn't control myself. The spirit God gave me is the source of power, love, and self-control. So if I'm out of control, I'm not living life in the spirit. You know we have to read the Passion Translation. But God will never give you the spirit of fear. But the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. So we know that the spirit that God's talking about is the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And those of us who have received the Holy Spirit should have no fear. Should be powerful individuals. Not afraid of anything. Always operating under the control, under the guidance, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. We have to do one more. We have to look at the Murdoch translation. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of energy. Stop saying, I'm so tired. And of love and of instruction. And of instruction. So when things come up and you don't know what to do, why are you panicking? You have within you the spirit that will give you instruction. If you yield to it, what am I supposed to do? I didn't know what to do when the ER doctor said you have multiple blood clots in both lungs. My wife knew what to do. She said, honey, stay calm. And I heard myself saying, okay, God, what do you want to do about what they said? And then I looked at the doctor and I said, okay. He said, okay. Yeah. Did you not understand what I said? And even when I'm not feeling bad, I'm me. And I said, well, let's see. A blood clot, you said a blood clot formed in my leg, broke into pieces. those pieces traveled through my body and lodged in my lungs. He said, right. I said, I got it. He said, you're not concerned about it? No, not really. May I ask why? Sure. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. But be not dismayed. I've overcome the world. And according to the Amplified Bible, it says, I've taken away its power to harm you. He said, so, Doc, you could say that in this world you might get blood clots. Don't spaz out about it. Jesus already defeated them, and he took away their power to harm me. The doctor said, wow. I didn't think it just came out. There were, what do you say, three people in the hospital with blood clots? Two of them were in ICU with one. I had multiples in both lungs. Roar. Not getting me to run out of my safety net and become lunch. Oh. Well, as big as I am, it would have been a dinner. But we need to understand that God gave us, he didn't just not give us a spirit of fear. The spirit he gave us is the Holy Spirit, in which there is no fear, in which we should have no fear, as long as we make a choice to live in the Spirit. That's why we just had this conference, Life in the Spirit. We need to learn how to live in the Spirit. Look at Luke 24. So I don't want you to think that that's just my thought. New Living Translation. Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he was ascending, said, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And in that power is not the spirit of fear. In Acts 1, verse 8, New King James Version, Jesus said to them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So not only were we given the Holy Spirit as a source of power, but was it given to us its power to do something. Not sit around and watch television. He gave us that power for a reason. See, when it comes to, we all know the scripture, I press toward the mark of the high calling. You know, I've kept up the faith, I've finished my course. Yeah. Not making light of that, but we're not taking it seriously because we don't run our race. We run the race that's dictated to us by the world. We need to step up and say, that's not the race the Lord told me to run. He told me to run this race. And I don't care that this is unpopular. This is the race he told me to run. And he empowered me with his spirit so I could run that race. And while I am running the race that God laid out for me, that the Holy Spirit is propelling me through, I become unstoppable. Doesn't mean there's not going to be any obstacles or things on the way. It means they're not going to stop me. Because I am, when I am living life in the Spirit, folks, I am unstoppable. Newsflash, so are you. But we need to understand it's because we are living in the Spirit, being empowered by the Spirit, and not just any old Spirit. Spirit of God, the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's why nothing should frighten us. When Lucifer came up to God, I don't know if he came up to him or just announced and God heard, because I wasn't there. But Lucifer said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. And a third of the angels were, hail Lucifer, dummies. Well, but really, there's no difference today. We get on a bandwagon with what the world says. We start believing things that aren't true anymore, because every news program that you turn on, everywhere you look, that's what you see. It's what you see. But every time it looks like things are going to be smooth sailing, something happens. And you say, see, here we go again. But we forget that Jesus never said that we were going to have an easy time of this. He said just the opposite. I was talking to someone once, and if you're here, I'm not talking about you, I'm just making a point about what we talked about. But they were very concerned, and they just wanted peace, and they wanted things to be nice and calm, and they didn't want any more obstacles. I said, then you might as well die. Because the only place you're going to find that is heaven. Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have, not might have. Why would God say, he that endures to the end, if you were not going to have anything to endure? He said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. He that endures to the end. That means stuff is going to be there that you're going to have to fight through. And he says, fight through it to the end. When is the end? Why should you care? Why should you care? We sing that song, I won't be defeated because I will not quit. Then we quit. Why? I didn't think I'd have to believe this long. Well, how long did you think? 2 days? No, more like 2 minutes. I was talking with someone a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about, you know, the devil and how believers get upset because, you know, how many of you have ever spoken to a situation that appeared nothing happened? I'm not going to ask how many got frustrated behind it, but think about it. If Jesus did it, should we be able to do it? Yes. So then why is it we speak to things sometimes and nothing happens right away? Because it didn't happen for Jesus right away. That's why. And we forget that. Remember when Jesus was in the desert and he was being tempted of the devil. And at one point he said to the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. That's what he said. You, get thee behind me. Satan didn't say, oh man, I almost got him. Let me get behind. No, Satan said, let me just take you to the next one. He didn't get behind him. We think he's going to listen to us. That's why it says, he that endures to the end. That's why the Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee. Resist. You don't have to, if I speak to something and it leaves, there's nothing to resist. Resist means I am being bombarded. Everywhere I turn, it's something. And I want to just pull out the no hair that I have and go, ah! But the word says resist. So I stand, not just stand waiting for it to end so I can go on. I stand and keep doing what I've been called to do, no matter what's going on around me, because I ain't scared of it. Let's go back to the lions for a moment. Let's mosey on over to 1 Samuel. Well, first, let's stop in Daniel. I'm not going to read all of verse 6. It's too long for now. But Daniel prayed 3 times. Face Jerusalem, pray 3 times, as he was led to do. And the king didn't have a problem with him. Matter of fact, King Darius liked Daniel. And he set over 120 princes over different kingdoms within his kingdom and put Daniel over all of them. Well, how many of you know the green-eyed monster showed up? And they wanted to get rid of Daniel, but they knew the only way they could do something against Daniel is to cause him, it had to be something spiritual, because they knew Daniel was devoted to his God. So they chided the king. That's why you got to be mindful of smooth-talking folks that want to get your ear. Start telling you things. One, hey, you know what? You're so great. You should do this. You know, king, you're so full of wisdom. There's no king in the earth like you, and there will be none after you. You know what, king? No one should pray to anybody except you for at least 30 days. And the king said, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Make that a decree. And according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, the law can't be changed. But see, but because you're a king, you can make another law that supersedes that other one. No, you can't change the original, but you can make another one. But Darius thought that was a good idea, so he did. Daniel knew about it. And he didn't say, oh, man, I can't pray to God anymore. For 30 days, what am I going to do for 30 days? I can't text God that hasn't been invented yet. What am I going to do? The same thing he was directed by God to do in the first place. Got in the window, didn't go into hiding. Back when I was young, the big deal was in neighborhoods were picture windows. It's like they were, Daniel had a picture window, and he would sit right in the middle of the window and pray. And the presidents and those rulers had a fit. Well, they didn't really have a fit. They were happy. They went and told the king, hey, king, how's that new law going? Did you know that the law that you put into place says no one can pray to anyone other than you for 30 days? Yep. Daniel doesn't pay attention to your laws. And as soon as they said that, the king knew he had been set up, because Daniel was not his enemy. Daniel was not his enemy at all. So when the king signed it, and they came to him about Daniel, the king had to go according to the law. So he sent for Dan. He knew Daniel was innocent. And what he said, to Daniel, let me find it because I'm out of order in my notes here. They assembled together. The king commanded that they bring Daniel. And Daniel said, "The God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." The king was like, I have to obey the law. The God you serve will protect you. Daniel, the Bible doesn't talk about Daniel falling on his face saying, oh God, what am I going to do? They're going to throw me to the lions. I'm trying to do your word. I'm trying to serve you best I can, and they won't let me. It's not fair. It's just not fair. He never said that. Never said that. They threw him in the lion's den. And the king said, the God whom thou continually serve, he will deliver thee. That's what the king said as Daniel was being thrown into the lion's den. You know something? The Bible doesn't talk about hearing any screaming, yelling, begging. And the king didn't sleep that night. He's fasted and prayed. Fasted and prayed. Got up, ran to the den, and called, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" You know, the ones that walk around looking whom they may devour? They didn't have to look because Daniel was dumped in their laps. The lions were like, ah, God was like, uh-uh. Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and have shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me." Not hurt, didn't take away their power. Shut their mouths so they couldn't hurt Daniel. Just shut their mouth. These lions were hungry. They keep them up. When they know they've got someone going in there, they deliberately don't feed them. Usually they're ripped into pieces before they even hit the floor. But not Daniel. Your adversary, Satan, goes around like a roaring lion. Yeah, but the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will shut its mouth for you if you stay about God's business. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. Angels got it covered. The Holy Spirit's got it covered. Shut the mouths of the lion. Then we go and we look at another young man who had an experience with a lion. David, in 1 Samuel 17. David said to King Saul, who was shaking in his boots about Goliath, "Can you imagine a teenager looking at an entire nation of people, including their leaders, their high priests, afraid of someone who's not in covenant with God? Why are we afraid? Last time I checked, there was no covenant with COVID. There was no COVID covenant. Why are we acting like there is? David said, "I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it." He didn't sit down and say, "God, you have to do something." No, you are the shepherd. It's your job. When Lucifer announced to God that he was going to take over, God didn't throw Lucifer out of heaven. God anointed Michael and said, "Mike, take care of my light work." And the Bible says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning." So they want their boom, boom, it was like, "Be gone." Yep. Fight over. Jesus said, 4th of July. But God didn't do it. Michael did. Who was Michael? His messenger. Who are you? God has already given us all that we need to deal with the devil. But David said, if a bear, lion or bear came and took a lamb from the fold, from the flock, I go after it. I go after it. I don't send any. I go after it. Why? It be my job. I'm the shepherd. I go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. Now everything's fine up to that point. But he says something else. If it turned on me, I grabbed it by the throat, wringing its neck and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. Lion or bear, made no difference. If it rises up against you, it's got to go. Now, I'm not saying you go out and you execute people. I'm saying this, what Pastor Greg said. I'm not saying that. FBI listening in, that's not what I'm saying. It says, when it turned on me, I killed it. Now, it could have just, oh, well, I got to go to somebody else's flock. But it continued to mess with Daniel, with David. It had to go. And who did it? David. Servant of God. Shepherd. Shepherd. He never went to his father and said, what am I supposed to do about this lion? Keeps coming. And sometimes a lion and a bear comes. I can only deal with one thing at a time. No. I'm the shepherd. I take care of the flock. Anything that comes against my flock, I'm the one equipped. I'm the one anointed to handle it. Not be afraid of it. Handle it. Lion or bear made no difference. Whether it's political, social, physical, it makes no difference. That thing coming against us is just like an uncircumcised Philistine. It doesn't have a covenant with God, and we do. But we have a little bit better than a covenant. God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine. Will, not might. Will, not might. 2 Peter 5, I think it's 2 Peter 5, in Passion Translation. Where it says, I think it's 1 Peter, I apologize. Said to be well balanced, always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion, looking for its prey to devour. Verse 9. Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. Take a decisive stand. You are not taking anything that belongs to me. Period. You're not smiling because it ain't funny. So I'm not smiling. You will leave this place and you'll leave it now in the name of Jesus. If not, remember your buddies and the pigs, because you're about to join them. Take a decisive stand. Decisive. Some folks were harassing our sons in the park. I'm their father. I said, you will not throw rocks in this park. Not while my sons are in here. You want to throw your brains out? Go into the ball field. But you will not throw rocks here. I'm going to get my father. I'll be sitting right here waiting for him. And I said, and he went and got his father. And his father came out with all the hand gestures and stuff. And I waited till it was about as far as, because I'm sitting on the hood of my car. Just sitting there waiting, looking at him. He got about as far as the monitor. I stood up. He smacked his son in the head, turned around, and went back home. No exaggeration. Little boy came back, told his friend, let's go on the baseball field. You take a divisive stand, a decisive stand against him, and resist every attack. I'm not giving into that. And I'm not saying this like it's easy. There have been some attacks that have come recently that I didn't handle the right way. I got emotional. We can't afford to get emotional because we won't operate with strong, vigorous faith. We'll operate with strong, vigorous emotion. Daniel wasn't emotional. David wasn't emotional. It wasn't personal to him. You're trying to take what's mine? I'm not. My job is to stop you. God said to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Devil's job is to stop us. But when we live life in the Spirit, when we realize that the Holy Spirit that God gave us did not include fear, why would we care what the enemy does? Folks, the bigger the attack that you withstand, the more deflation takes place in the enemy. When someone comes with their best, and you know, before I was saved, guy came up to me, I was a freshman in high school, punched me in the jaw. I went like this. And gave him a big smile. He started backing away. I started walking toward him. He started running away. But I gave him a big smile. That's what you got? I'm supposed to be afraid of that? The devil comes like a roaring lion. Brings its buddy to bear with it. Oh, this is a two-for-one day, huh? Oh, you guys are really, you make a good team. Dead and deader. I'm supposed to be afraid of this. This is all you got. A lion and a bear. Going to stop me. Satan and a third of the angels couldn't disrupt heaven. And you think I'm going to be afraid of you? Are you serious? You better get the stepping. Because I don't have ordinary feet. These be size 16. That are going to be coming at you in a few moments. Christ, and then after your brief suffering, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. Yes, he will set you firmly in place and build you up, and he has all the power needed to do this forever. Jackie, I got to put you on post at that clock because they keep erasing the time. When we look at Gideon, who was afraid, but he had this massive army, and God said, too many. People think it's you and not me. And Gideon is like, take him, go in everyone's ear. He didn't want to embarrass anyone. He said, go speak in their ear. If you're afraid, leave. 22,000 left. 22,000. Can you imagine you're going into a battle? 22,000, that's a third of your people are afraid. Two-thirds of your people. Because he had 10,000 left. So he started out with 32,000. 22,000 afraid. You're afraid, go home. Boy, I got out of that one. And they go home. But then he said, still too many. Gideon is probably, okay, what sign can I ask him to give? Because he's got to give me a sign. Take him down to the river. Tell him to get a drink. Anyone that drinks water like a dog, send them packing. Now, there are a lot of, there are a lot of theories about that. I was thinking about that. Why would God do that? What's the difference whether you're going like this? Because you're a human being. And you should understand who you are. And you should understand how a person like you acts. And if they don't know how to do something as basic as drink water properly, I can't use them. So God wants people who adhere to their training and who are not afraid. And not only adhere to your training, maybe they just weren't sure. Maybe the way they were raised, that's the way you drank water. However it was, it wasn't the way normal human beings drink water. So I don't know what else they may be lacking. For the work I have, they've disqualified themselves. You have to be properly trained. You have to know who you are, and you have to know what it means to act like you know who you are. You have to know those things, and you cannot have any fear. If you want to be used by God, if you want to walk around fearless, you must know who you are and what that means, and you cannot be afraid. And the reason I said it in that order is because once you know who you are, you won't be afraid. I've said it ad nauseum many times, many, many times. I grew up as Miss Ruby's son. I knew what that meant. As long as I operated in the Miss Ruby realm, she protected me. Gangs, street junkies respected Miss Ruby and her children. I didn't go around mushing anyone's face because then Miss Ruby would have turned into mommy and would have whipped me with the mulberry tree. But as long as I did what I was supposed to do and stayed in the area where I was assigned, I was protected by Miss Ruby. So it's not hard for me to understand the way God protects. If he told you, go to Samoa, what are you doing sitting here in the war room? Your protection's not in here. You put everybody else in here at risk because you don't belong here. You belong in Samoa. Or Mexico, people are disappearing down there. Maybe that's because you're not there. Maybe you're the one to go there and drive. Wait a minute. They're sending Deacon Rosemary. We can't stay here. If we don't leave now, she will cast us out. John and Shirley Allen. It's okay to use their name because they said so. They were sent to God sent them to a place in Africa. Everybody they knew said, don't go there. That's the worst, most lawless place in the continent. And if you do go there, don't go out after dark. They held walking the streets. And that went from being the worst to the best area in that town. Because two people, they heard from God, yes, Minister Phyllis, they've been properly trained, and they were not afraid. They knew they were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and with that gift came no fear. So they didn't go looking for any fear. When the Bible says add to your faith, fear is not one of the qualities it says. Add to your faith, fear. Yeah, but just a good kind of fear. You know, you don't go and stick your hand, you know, in an alligator's mouth. You do if God tells you to. But folks, I need to close with this, but it's good because I'll be with you for the next two Sundays so I can finish. I don't have to jam a lot in. But I need to tell you this. Jump way down to the end. I like science fiction and dinosaurs. And I like Star Trek. I particularly like the original one. I don't really enjoy the other ones. I like Kirk and Spock and O'Hood. I do. Even though I can repeat the words every episode. But in The Next Generation, I saw a clip, a commercial for it, about a week or so ago. And I've heard this saying on that program a number of times, but this time something clicked. Now you need to understand that the Enterprise, there was no greater ship than the USS Enterprise. It was the best ship in the fleet. Strongest, most up-to-date. Its crew was top-notch. There wasn't a better crew or a better captain anywhere in Starfleet. Anywhere. And of course, Data was no Mr. Spock, but he was still Data. And something used to happen when they got ready to go on assignment. Best fleet, best crew. Even the enemies knew they were the best. But this is what happened. No matter how powerful that vessel was, no matter how well the crew was trained, no matter how respected their captain is, there's something that had to happen or that ship would have been of non-effect. They received their assignments. They locked in their coordinates. They checked their weapons. They locked in the speed, warp 3. But they had to do one more thing. They had to say one more thing, or nothing would have happened. The captain, the one in charge, had to say, engage. If he doesn't say engage, nothing happens. The instruments are set, the weapons are locked and loaded. Nothing happens. Why? They ain't going anyplace. Why not? Because they will not engage. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These signs will follow them that believe. You'll cast out devils. You will cast out devils. You'll speak in new tongues. You'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you. In order for those things to happen, you have to be engaged. God didn't give us all his power for us to sit around and do nothing. You have to engage. I'm going to take the time and read this again. I read it to you last time because we need to know why we can engage. Go to Ephesians 6, please. What God gave us is built on our engaging in the work that he called us to do. Passion Translations, Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. Now, my beloved ones, I'll say this and I'll quit. I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us. So, listen to this. Put on God's complete armor provided so that you will be protected as you fight. So you're protected as you engage against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat. Hand-to-hand combat. Hand-to-hand. Pierre, would you come here for a moment? My combat, just stop right there for a minute. Oh, my combat is not with Pierre when he's over there. Come close. I'm not going to hurt you. Put your hands up. Give me your hands. Hand to hand. Hand to hand. I'm going to feel his presence. He may get one in every now and then. But my hand to hand comment, he just said, I'm about to show him something. Yeah. Your hand-to-hand combat. This isn't battling from a distance. This isn't, I'm in North Korea, I'm going to push a button and something's going to come. It's up in your face combat. It's not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are, listen to this, they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. But you have the Holy Spirit operating in you, and it's more powerful than that class of demon gods. And on your own time, you can go over and look at Luke 10:19, and where Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on snakes and scorpions. The Amplified Bible says physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Engage. If you've been properly trained and you know that, engage. But there's more. But it's more. Because of this, you must wear all the armor God provided so you're protected as you confront. While you're engaged, you're protected. It's not you're protected while you're on vacation away from doing what God told you to do. You're protected as you confront. So we should be out there confronting. Not doing the opposite. When I was younger and you pretended to say you're just out there fronting. Confront. Be there doing something for God. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness, as Minister Phillips would say, so you have clean hands. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert. Then you'll be always ready. Stand on your feet alert. I wish Deacon Tony was in here. When you're in the military, folks, every move, is there any form of military in the room? James, when you were in a room, in the rec room, or out and just kind of hanging out, and a superior officer comes into the room, what's said? Were everyone called to attention? Excuse me? They say, attention. Why? Because every instruction is given from the place of attention. Even at ease, you're called to attention. At ease. God doesn't care if you're playing a video game. Attention. You take your troop and go this way. I'm sending you out two by two. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. Don't take any money with you. We have to be alert. We have to be at attention because that's when the orders are given and that's when we're in the best position to accurately hear what's being said. You can't engage if you don't know what you should be engaged in. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, how many?
Every.
Take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Not the blazing arrows that might come. Not the blazing arrows that will come. The blazing arrows that are coming. From the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. What lies? You're going to die. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. You've forgotten something, devil. I am not afraid. And I've been properly trained. I know who I am in Christ. I've been given power over anything you got. And that includes your thought process, anything you can think of, anything you can conjure up. I'm like the three Hebrew boys according to the Message Bible. Our God will deliver you from this furnace and anything else you can cook up. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately, how? In the spirit, when? As you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times, the enemy rises up. You pull out your sword of the Spirit. And you start engaging first with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is telling you where to attack, how long to attack. Because you're engaged with him so you can be engaged against them. But if you're not engaged with him, you can't be engaged against them successfully. We have, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. But if we're not engaged, we're not going to see that. We're locked and loaded. We've had all the training. We've had all the examples. We've had all the teaching. We have all the tapes and CDs and zip drives. We have all of this. Engage. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Stop waiting for me to move. I'm waiting for you to move. I've already given you everything there is to get. You have my spirit. My spirit is in you. Why do you think I gave it to you? You are the doorkeepers of my planet. You are the gatekeepers. You are the ones that keep this garden that I call earth. You are the ones that I equip to do it. Stop calling for me to do what I've equipped you to do. Yes, I back you up. But you have to get out there and do it. You're more than able. I've given you proper examples. You're equipped. Hear my word today. Engage. Engage. Stand to your feet, please. Just raise your hands. Give God praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, you've given us a strategy. Engage with you so we can engage against him. Engage with you. Father, we repent for giving in to the spirit of fear and calling it wisdom. The true wisdom is to operate based on your instructions, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what the rhetoric is about it, regardless of the research we may have done. Only one thing really matters. You point the direction. You've given us the weapons. We have to engage and start doing things according to your timetable and according to who we are as your sons and daughters. We repent for our failure to properly handle the training you've given us and fumbling around as those who don't believe. We are believers. We believe your word. And we don't just believe it with our mouths, we believe it through our actions. Thank you, Father, for sticking with us while we're working this thing out, but it's now worked out. You've equipped us. Now it's time to engage. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.